हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. लास्ट् क्लास् ऐ इण्ट्रड्यूस्ड् दिस् मेथडालजि the methodology called drik drishya viveka prakriya, the subject object analysis, or the method of distinguishing the subject from the object of knowledge. And this methodology is used to negate first what the self is not, to understand what the self is not through negation, thereby to arrive at what the self is. Why do we need to negate first what the self is not? Because what it is not is an object of knowledge, and the subject of knowledge is very abstract, intangible, not something tangible, isn't it? If I have to take two things and I have to show you, this is a mic and this is a specs, two things are tangible things, perceptible things, then it is easy, I can show both. And this is not mic, this is not laptop, this is not anything, this is specs. It is easy to show if the things are tangible. But what we need to understand is something intangible. So all the tangible objects of knowledge and also intangible subtle objects of knowledge also have to be negated to understand what the self is not. It is very important to understand what the self is not, because the mistake here is in our perception. We mistake the non-self for the self. I told you long ago. We mistake the non-self for the self. Initially I told you. Which means this error in perception of the self. And we do not know our perception of the self is erroneous. And this error in perception of the self is due to self-ignorance. Which means we do not know what the self is. So, that is the error in perception of the self is the cause for the fundamental problem of erroneous notion about the self. What is the erroneous notion about the self? I am small, I am inadequate, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am a mortal. All these notions, any number of notions we entertain about ourselves are all wrong notions. Wrong notions means, I'm not saying absolutely wrong, but they are wrong notions. Relatively, they are right, but absolutely they are wrong. The notions are relatively they are right, but absolutely they are wrong. Because what is relatively right is taken to be absolutely right. That is our problem. Therefore, the so-called the search for happiness itself, searching for happiness and searching for peace itself is a vain effort. Why? Because we keep on searching. It will be endlessly unreachable. Why? Because the very searcher is what is searched. What is searched is the very searcher. That is why the search is a vain effort. And to not to make our effort vain and to understand this, here the scriptures tell you, come on, this happiness, what you're searching, is very you. But still, in spite of the happiness you're searching for happens to be you, the very search itself is because of what? The problems you have in life. The problems are in the form of basically fundamental, caused by the fundamental problem. So the fundamental problem, all the problems, unhappiness is because of not knowing what happiness is, what fullness is. And all the problems in life are also taken to be the cause for our unhappiness. We try to solve all of our problems. And of course we have to solve the problems, but still solving the problems will not bring happiness to us. Which means the problems all will resolve if one problem is solved. You need all the problems will solve if one problem is solved. That's called a fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is what? Actually, mistaking the non-self for the self. Because of which there is an erroneous notion about the self. So the erroneous notion about the self has to be resolved, for which error in perception of the self has to be resolved, for which self-ignorance has to be resolved, for which self has to be understood. Understanding, I'm not using the word realization. I'm not using the word self-realization or self-experience. We are not going to experience the self. We are not going to realize the self here. We need to understand the self. Understanding the self means knowing the self. So, no, understanding the self, in order to understand the self, we need to understand what the self is not, for which this method is used. And last class I said, anything and everything in this universe indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. I'm sorry, it takes time for me to come to the class. Okay. I was a little disturbed before, so. Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. And I am the subject of knowledge. I am the knower. An object of knowledge is the known. Subject of knowledge is the knower. And with reference to this word, with reference from the standpoint of the me, the individual, I am the knower and everything else other than me is an object of my knowledge. Everything else in this world is indicatable with the word, with the pronouns this or that. So we started with the physical body. Of course, the external to the whole world, known through five sense organs, form the objects of knowledge. And it comes closer, use the word this. This is the dress, and these are the, we saw last class, this is the physical body. So body is object of knowledge, because body is indicated by the pronoun I, sorry, this. This is a body. This is a body, therefore this is an object of my knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, am not the body. Which means the content of I is not the physical body. The substance or substantive I is not the physical body. The knower I is not the known body. The knower I is different from, distinct from the known body. The thing here is, important thing is, usually subject and object means there will be some distance. I am the seer, then Mike is seen. We think there's a distance between subject and the object, isn't it? To be frank, there's a from the body there's a distance between other body, other form. Really speaking, this I, the knower, is not distant from the body. Knower is not distant from the body, but distinct from the body. Not distant, but distinct from the body. Different from the body. And we saw, next we went to the next, the subtle body also. We saw there are 16 subtle aspects which constitute the astral or subtle body called the Sukshma Shariram. Don't worry, we'll learn all these things again when I'll start my first the Vedantic treatise, the textbook. You will understand all these technical terms thoroughly. Now you just can listen to me, just for understanding. Then we saw the 5 sense powers, and which are different from the gross physical parts. Like our eyes, the seeing power is distinct from, different from the location, the physical look part, which is called Golakam. The hearing, similarly we have each sense power, all the 5 sense powers, hearing power, seeing power, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch, all these 5 sense powers called Jnana Indriyani, all of them are different from the physical parts, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, etc. They are Golakams. The physical parts are called Golakani. The sense powers obtaining in the physical parts, which are different from the physical parts, are called Indriyani. The sense powers are understood by you. You know your sense powers, but you cannot see the sense powers through physical eyes. Therefore, they are subtle. We call them subtle powers, means imperceptible. You can understand, see, through the sense powers, you perceive the external world, perceptible objects. But sense powers themselves are imperceptible. Understand? You perceive the sound through the hearing power, but the hearing power is imperceptible. You perceive the form, color, light through the using your seeing power, but the seeing power is imperceptible. Imperceptible is not available for sense perception. Externalities are available, so subtle. Not available for sense powers are not available for sense perception. Is it clear? Like this, such. Then we also saw 5 powers of organs of actions. Like powers in the hands, legs, organ of speech, excretory organ and reproductory organ. The 5 subtle powers of organs of actions called Karma Indriyani. Totally we have 10 powers. And we also saw 5 physiological functions. The Pranaha, Apanaha, Vyanaha, Samanaha, Udanaha. These are all 5 different names for 5 different physiological functions happening in the body. One vital air governs all the 5 different functions. We don't have 5 different pranas, okay? There is only one vital air governing the 5 different functions. Therefore, they're all the functions are given the different names. Like pranaha, the function of respiration. Apanaha, function of excretion. Vyanaha, function of circulation. Samanaha, function of digestion. Udanaha, function of retention. Like that, all these functions are happening constantly. In fact, the functioning of which really helps us to understand whether the person is alive or not. The very life force, we call these pranas. And even these functions are objects of knowledge. They are all known, understood by you, known to you. Therefore, you, the knower, are different from the known physiological functions. You, the knower, are different from the known subtle sense powers. You, the knower, are different from the known powers of organs of actions. All the 15 aspects which form part of the subtle body, they're all different. You are the knower, different from the known subtle aspects. And we saw the last one, the 16th aspect, the important one is what now? The mind. It is the mind which really lends life to the subtle powers and pranas and all of them. Why? Because it is the, if the mind leaves the physical body, all the 15 subtle aspects also will leave along with the subtle body. The mind. That's why this departure of the subtle body is said to be death of the physical body. Understand? Then the physical body becomes dead like a wood, a piece of wood, when the mind departs, leaves the physical body. When the mind leaves, all these 5 physiological functions called pranas, and 5 subtle sense powers, 5 powers of organs of actions, all the powers, the entire sukshma will go away. Now we can say, what is this mind? So we saw last class, mind also is an object of knowledge, which means mind also is known. And what is the distance between you, the knower, and your known mind? Please understand, there is no distance. What is the distance between the illumining light and the illumined mic? There is no distance. Therefore, I, the knower, the subject of knowledge, is not distant from the body, not distant from the any of the known subtle aspects, not distant from the mind, but definitely distinct from the mind, different from the known. Knower is different from the known. What is this knower? Knower is not some gross form, even subtle form also. It is intangible, most intangible, isn't it? But still without the knower, there cannot be the known. How can there be the known without the knower? Tell me. The known cannot be if there is no knower. But therefore, you are the knower. How do you know you are the knower? You know you are the knower. When you say, I know, you are the knower. Therefore, you are the knower means who this I, the knower, is. We have to arrive at. And before that, we have to distinguish the I, this I, this knower, from the mind also. It means, what is this mind? How do you say mind is known? I told you last class, varieties of thought modifications constitute the mind. In Sanskrit language, the mind as a whole is called antahkaranam. 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 Here, the mind, here thought modification in Sanskrit language is called vrittihi. Vrittihi means, the word vritti has many meanings, but here thought modification is called vrittihi. Antahkarana vrittihi. Why we called thought modification? because thoughts come and go. Thoughts rise, remain and resolve. They keep changing, keep flowing. And here, what are all the thoughts? Our scriptures help us to understand the thoughts. What is a thought if you ask, you cannot describe? What is a thought if you ask, you cannot describe? What we can say, these are all thoughts. Instead of saying what is a thought, defining a thought, I can tell you what are all thoughts. So the thoughts can be generally classified into four groups. We are not compartmentalizing or anything. It is only for understanding, for the purpose of easy understanding of the mind. We are dividing these thoughts into four groups. And instead of asking this question, what is a thought, how to define a thought, we can understand these are all thought modifications. Each one is a thought. We say buddhihi. Buddhihi means intellect. And we have another word, manaha, mind. Antahkaranam as a whole is called mind. Mind as a whole. But the same mind, when you divide them into four groups also, divide the thoughts into four groups also, one group of thoughts come under the category of manaha, mind. So buddhi, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. I'll repeat it. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Any number of thoughts arise in your mind, doesn't matter. All the thoughts can be classified into what? It must come under the category of intellect. Buddhi means intellect. Manaha, mind. Then chittam, memory. Ahankaraha. Ahankaraha, lead ahankara. There only rest of the three. All the thoughts will come under the category of these three only. There again, you can lead memory also. Just take manaha and buddhihi. The emotional aspect of the antahkaranam is called mind. The intellectual aspect of the antahkaranam is called buddhihi. Mind and intellect. So I tell you, we talk about the word ignorance, don't we? We all talk about ignorance. Suppose I say, I do not know French. I do not know French. I do not know English music. I do not know this. When you say, I do not know, all of us will say, we do not know many things. What is that? Ignorance, which means there is ignorance of the language, French language, isn't it? So ignorance, we talk about ignorance. What is this ignorance? Where does it exist? Ignorance of anything in the world. Ignorance is in the form of a thought. Ignorance is a thought. Ignorance is one thought modification. Ignorance. Then we all talk about the word, we all use, I'm confused. All often use this, confused. Confusion. You know what confusion is, don't we? How can you talk about your ignorance if you do not know what you're ignorant of? So ignorance is known to you, which is in the form of a thought. Similarly, confusion about anything. We have confusion about so many things. The confusion about anything is nothing but in the form of a thought only. Confusion. Ignorance, confusion, tension, fear, anxiety. What about fear? If fear is a given thought modification, fear, we talk about fear. We all know the word fear. Where is fear? is in thought form. Fear is one thought form. Anxiety, what's going to happen? Anxiety is a thought modification. Tension is a given thought modification. Confusion, the doubt. This is right, that is right. Dilemma, should I go, should I not? Should I tell him or not to tell him? Is it dilemma? Confusion, doubt, then delusion, mistaking one for the other, delusion. Delusion is a thought form. Then emotional pain, sorrow, grief, different degrees of pain, sadness, sorrow, grief, any expression or sense of insecurity, anxiety, fear, sense of insecurity, even the panic attacks people talk about. They all form the emotional side of the mind. They're all thoughts. Now tell me, all these thoughts, pain, sorrow, grief, sadness, all these thoughts now. Ignorance, confusion, anxiety, pain, dilemma, doubt, all these types of thoughts. All these thoughts constitute manaha, emotional anger, important thing. How can I leave it? Anger. Then desire. Two important aspect thoughts I left. Mind is absent here. That's why. Anger, desire, all these thoughts come under the category of mind. Now tell me, do you all know your desire or not? Your desire is known to you or not? What you are desirous of is known or not? Your desire is known to you. Your anger is known to you. Your confusion is known to you. Your hatred is known to you. Your jealousy is known to you. The mental discomfort is known to you. The fear is known to you. Anxiety is known to you. Ignorance is known to you. Your ignorance is known to you. Your doubt is known to you. Your dilemma is known to you. Your confusion, your delusion is known to you. Therefore, they're all known. Each one is a given thought modification. A thought. Is it clear? They all form part of your antahkaranam. Desire, when I say likes and dislikes, your passion is known to you. Passion, desire, likes, dislikes, aversion, attachment, they're all known to you. Nothing is wrong. Everything is a given thought modification. I have almost brought all the thoughts here. Most of the important thoughts follows. Then, okay, now we're going to come to the next category of thoughts. Don't think it's how it is. Okay, now we can understand it's all mind. Therefore, you are the knower distinct from, different from all these, every known thought. You are the knower different from the anger in the form of thought. You are the knower different from the known desire in the form of thought. You are the knower different from experiencer, different from the experienced thought, experienced jealousy or confusion, fear, the thought in the form of fear. You are the knower different from the known thought, fear in the form of fear. Then intellect. Just as you say, I don't know French, I can say, I know Tamil. Is our Indian, one of the Indian languages. I know little Indian music. I know Indian classical dance. If we say, I know, if we say, what does it mean? I know cooking. I know is what? Knowledge, isn't it? You know what you know, which means knowledge. Knowledge. So knowledge is, you know what you know. Knowledge is a form of a thought. Like how ignorance is one given thought modification. Knowledge also is in the form of a thought. Where is the knowledge? You can't locate, but you know. There's knowledge. Do you understand what I'm speaking? You'll all say what? Yes, we understand. And where is understanding? What is understanding? A understanding of anything. Understanding of what is being spoken, understanding of what is being said, understanding of a given thing. Understanding is also in the form of a thought, knowledge. Understanding is a thought, in the form of a thought. Then perception. Do you all perceive the light here? Do you all perceive the sound here? Yes, you will all say yes. Which means there is perception of the light, perception of the sound. Perception, we say, where is the perception? It's in the form of a thought. Perception is a given thought modification. Understanding is a given thought. Knowledge is a given thought. Cognition is a given thought. Clarity, like confusion is a thought, one form of thought. One form of thought is that a given thought is the form of a confusion, another given thought is the form of a clarity. Clarity regarding certain things. Clarity about certain things. Clarity is thought. Are you clear about this? If I ask, you say, yes, we are clear. No, we are not clear. We are confused. You say anything. Which means, where is the clarity? The clarity is a given thought form. The form of a thought. Not about everything, about certain things. Clarity. Are you all enthusiastic to come and study here? Yes, we are all enthusiastic. Enthusiasm, where is it? Enthusiasm is given a thought form. Enthusiasm also is a given thought is in the form of enthusiasm. Cheerfulness, enthusiasm, fearlessness, fear is a thought modification, fearlessness, courage, bravery, strength, emotionally feeling strong, isn't it? Strength, it's a state, isn't it? It's again a given thought modification. Bravery, courage, fearlessness, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, knowledge, cognition, understanding, perception, recognition. Oh, I recognize, this is so. Recognition. Where is recognition? Recognition is in the form of a thought. Recognition is a given thought form. Therefore, all these varieties of thoughts form the intellect. Clear? Now tell me, which of these thought forms are not known to you? You are the knower of the recognition in your mind, recognition of your own, recognition of a thought. Your recognition is known to you. Your knowledge is known to you. Your enthusiasm is known to you. Your cheerfulness is known to you. Your clarity is known to you. Your fearlessness is known to you as your fear is known to you. Your perception is known to you. Your cognition is known to you. All these thoughts are known. Is it true or not? Therefore, your entire mind, all these various emotional thoughts filling the emotional aspect of the mind are known to you. Thoughts constituting the intellectual aspect of the mind is known to you. Now memory, chittam, what is memory? All your old perceptions, the previous perceptions, old perceptions, which have been stored, and the old perceptions always create impressions in the mind, and they remain collected in your mind. So the recollection of your stored past memories, we talk about memory. Where is the memory? You remember how you were when you were 5-year-old, what shirt you were wearing, what frock you were wearing, what was the second birthday dress, where were you taken at the age of 10 for a holiday by your parents, how you enjoyed your teenage life in college, how you were after marriage, how you were then when you got the first baby. Let it all your different past days, lives, experiences you can remember. Where is they? You all that you can remember. Where is it? All that you remember is completely not the physical, nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the sense power, nothing to do with the, it's all in the form of thought only. Anything you remember about the past, recollection of the past, is in the form of thought, which also form part of the mind. Is it clear? Memory? Now last bit. Now memory is known to you or not? Memory is also known to you. Okay? Therefore you are the knower, different from the known ignorance and the known knowledge, known perception, known clarity, known cheerfulness, known enthusiasm, known confusion, known anger, known desire. You are different from all of them. Now, what is this last bit? One more thought we have to say. Ahankaraha, ego. See, ego also, in Sanskrit we call it ahankaraha, is also come under the category of mind. Is it clear? vritti only. Aham. What is ahankaraha? I. The knowledge I am. Ahankaraha means the knowledge I am. We have to be very careful. I'm not saying you. The knowledge I am is ahankaraha. Okay? The knowledge I am. I am here. I am. The knowledge I am is ahankaraha. That's also thought. Okay? This one particular thought, specific thought, is what? The knowledge I am. The knowledge I am is a thought. In which form? The knowledge I am, the knowledge, see, this is a computer, is knowledge. This is knowledge, the knowledge is in the form of thought. Similarly, the universe is. The knowledge the universe is a thought. The knowledge the mic is a thought. The knowledge David is in the class is a thought. The knowledge all of you are present is a thought, in the form of a thought. The knowledge there is a plant in this corner is a thought. This is a mic. The knowledge that, the knowledge, this is a mic is a, in the form of a thought. Similarly, the knowledge I am is a thought. Is it clear? Which is called ahankaraha. The knowledge I am. Where is this knowledge I am? In what form does this knowledge I am exist? The knowledge I am is a thought. This specific thought that the knowledge I am in the form of a thought is called ahankaraha, ego. The knowledge the universe is also thought form. That thought comes under the category of intellect. The knowledge I am is ego. Ahankaraha. Is it clear? Hope you understood very well. I'm not saying I am. The knowledge I am is ahankara. It's a thought. When this knowledge I am is not there, no other thought can be there. For any other thought to be there, for knowledge that there is a universe to be there, for the jealousy to be there, for the anger to be there, for the desire to be there, for understanding to be there, for confusion to be there, for any other thought to be there, there must be the thought, okay, the knowledge, I am. If this one thought, the knowledge that I am, this knowledge that I am, the thought in the form of knowledge I am is not there, no other thought can be there. Is it clear? Now tell me, do you know you are or not? Tell me, do you know you are or not? Yes, say. Yeah. You know you are. Which means, you say what now? I know I am. Therefore, the knowledge I am is known. your ahankara is known. The problem is, ahankara is such a simple thing, the most beautiful thing. Okay, the blessing thing. It is the blessing, the very special thing which makes you a human being, which makes you the most sophisticated. Okay, don't need to work very hard to give it up and throw it away. Keep it, understand what ahankara is, that's what, finished. Wonderful thing. If you do not lose it, if you lose, we'll be animals. Really? I am the knowledge. I am is known. I am is the knowledge. It is known. So ahankara is a thought which is known to you. Memory is nothing but the form of thoughts known to you. All memory is known to you in the form of thoughts. Our thoughts in the form of memory is known, are known to you. Thoughts in the form of aham, the knowledge I am, is known to you. Thought in the form of varieties of intellect, knowledge, understanding, cognition, etc., which constitute the intellect, are known to you. All the emotions, anger, jealousy, hatred, desire, etc., are known to you. Which thought is not known to you? Tell me. Every thought is known. Therefore, you are the knower, different from the known thoughts, different from the mind. Therefore, now we have seen the entire subtle body, mind, physiological functions, five sense powers, five powers of organs of actions, the 16 aspects of the mind. When you divided the mind into four groups of thoughts, and all the, you can even take it as 419 aspects also, you analyzed all of them constitute the subtle body, sukshma shariram. Everything is subtle. Nothing is tangible here. Nothing is, you cannot hold anything here. But they're all aspects which indwell the gross physical body. They're all known to you. Therefore, you are the knower, distinct from the known subtle body also. How do you say the knowledge I am is that one specific thought is ahankaraha? That's also object of knowledge. All these thoughts are there only when the mind is functional. Whenever the mind becomes, there is a time, there is a function of mentation, how the mind functions. The nature of the mind is such that there is a time the mind becomes non-functional. Whenever the mind becomes non-functional, all these thoughts will resolve. Okay? Whenever the thoughts resolve, mind is non-functional, how do you know? Thoughts will resolve. Thoughts are there, but they are resolved. They remain resolved. Again, when the mind becomes functional, thoughts rise. When the thoughts rise, when the mind is functional, thoughts rise, we call it waking state of the mind. And when the thoughts rise, mind is functional. Mind functions along with the sense powers, then the external world also is perceived. We call it waking state of the mind. The mind is fully functional, fully active. All the thoughts are there, and mind functions along with the sense powers. which is external world, also is perception of the external world. Then that state of mind is called waking state of the mind. And there is a time mind is semi-functional, half-functional, which means the thoughts are there, but mind, the sense powers are resolved. Mind does not function along with the sense powers. Mind functions by itself. Then we call mind is not fully functional, half or semi-functional. Then that state of mind is called dream state. Then during the dream state, the external world is not perceived. Why? Because sense powers are non-functional. Mind functions, but without the sense powers. When the mind functions by itself, then external world is not perceived, but still there is a dream experience. Okay, that's called dream state of mind. We analyze this dream later on elaborately in our classes. We are going to see very elaborately later on, but now understand this much. When the mind is totally non-functional, so fully functional mind, functions along with the sense powers, we call it waking state of the mind. When the mind is semi-functional without the sense powers, we call it dream state of the mind. When the mind is totally non-functional, all the thoughts are resolved. There is no perception of the external world, nor is the dream perception of the dream world, but there is no experience of the external world or the dream world. That state of mind is called deep sleep state. Deep sleep state. In Sanskritam we say jagrad avastha, waking state of the mind. Swapna avastha, dream state of the mind. Sushupti avastha, deep sleep state of the mind. And these three states of the mind, so each state of mind is nothing but each state of experience. Each state of mind is each state of experience. Different states of experience. Waking state of the mind is waking state of experience. Dream state of the mind is dream state of experience. State of dream experience. So deep sleep state of the mind is deep sleep experience. And all these different experiences, now we have three different experiences. Now three different states of experience we have. So each state of experience is what? Discontinuous. The waking state is not there continuously. Waking state experience, waking state of experience is not there continuously. There is a time it comes to an end, becomes discontinuous. And it also what now? When the waking state is, it excludes the other states of experience. There is no dream in waking. There is no waking in dream. There is no dream or waking in deep sleep state. Therefore, all these different states of experience, three are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. You cannot say, I have all the three states of mind simultaneously at a time. You can never say that. Either you can have the mind in deep state or dream state, or deep sleep state, or waking state, isn't it? And each state of mind is each state of experience means. Experience implies the experiencer being there. Isn't it true? There is in every state of experience, there is an experiencer. Every state of mind is known. Dream state is known. That is why on waking up from sleep, you can recollect your dream, what is known during the dream, what was known during the dream, and you can talk about the dream. Vividly, or sometimes you can say, oh, I don't remember anything, but I dreamt something. You can talk about your dream, means you are able to recollect what was known during the dream. So waking is known, waking state of mind is known, dream state of mind is known, which you cannot talk when you are dreaming. You have to wake up and talk. So also deep sleep state of the mind also is known. Therefore you wake up, and waking up you have to say what now? I did not know I was. I did not know the universe was. I did not know anything. I slept well. I slept like a log of wood. Which means the experience is what? No, there is an experience which you talk about. What is known, what was known during the deep sleep state, you are able to talk about on waking up. What was known during the dream, you are able to talk about on waking up. What is being known during the waking, of course you are able to talk about, which means each state of mind, the mutually exclusive, discontinuous state of mind is known to you. Which means you are the knower, experiencer, different from the known mind, known states of mind. There is no fourth state of mind. See, only three states of mind. We don't have the fourth state of mind. Don't need to worry about it. There are only three states of the mind. Naturally blessed. Therefore, mind is an object of knowledge. And this knower, you are there always knowing, experiencing, observing this known mind, observed mind, knowing this mind. In deep sleep state, you are not knowing you are. Why you do not know that you are in deep sleep state? Because the knowledge I am is not there in deep sleep state. You are there or not? You are in deep sleep state. What is not there in deep sleep state is the knowledge I am. Why the knowledge I am is not there in deep sleep state? Vritti is not there. I told you already, the knowledge I am is a thought. The knowledge I am is a thought. The thought is not there. Therefore, the knowledge I am is not there in deep sleep state. But you are there or not? You are. How do you know you are in deep sleep state? On waking up from sleep, you can say, I did not know I was. How can you say that you did not know you were, you know, you did not know that you were. Isn't it? Which means you are always there, that you, the knower, distinct from this mind, three states of mind, changing variable states of mind, what is that? The knower is one and the same you. Invariable knower is distinct from the variable states of mind. Dream goes, deep sleep state comes, deep sleep state goes, waking comes, understand? That invariable knower is consciousness. Knower is consciousness. What is that because of which? What is that because of which nothing is known in deep sleep state? Nothing is known in deep sleep state. You wake up from sleep and you say, I did not know anything. I did not have any experience. I did not experience the external world. I did not experience the dream world. I did not know anything. Which means, still there is experience of the absence of experience. There is experience of the absence of experience of the dream world. There is experience of the absence of experience of the waking external universe. Is it that experiencelessness is experienced, which means there is an experiencer, the knower, who is distinct from the known experiencelessness. The knower distinct from the known experiencelessness. But you just really see that. That knower is consciousness. Consciousness alone is there as the knower. Therefore, there is another prakriya called avasthatraya prakriya, the method of analyzing the three states of experience. We will do it again next class. Okay, we'll do it again next class when you come back. Because today just I wanted to introduce the mind mainly. And here, we analyze that, we again will see that. How do you say the knower is consciousness? Because abstract reality, consciousness, pure consciousness is abstract truth, but at the same time, absolute truth. Without which there cannot be the knower. Without which there cannot be knowledge. Without which there cannot be the known. The knower cannot be without the abstract absolute reality called consciousness. There cannot be the knowledge without the knower. There cannot be the known without the knowledge. For the knower, the known, the knower, knowledge and the known, all the three are possible. Okay, the experience is possible only if there is the truth called consciousness. And you cannot, if you go in search of consciousness like this, you can never arrive at it. Why? Consciousness is never available for objectification. Never objectifiable. Never perceptible. But consciousness is recognizable. Not as an object, but as the subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is where? Only I. How many subjects of knowledge are there here? When you take, you are the subject of knowledge. And everything else other than you is only an object of knowledge. The entire object of knowledge, the entire universe, object, any object of knowledge comes under the category of the universe, jagat, prapanchaha, the objective universe. The only one thing which cannot come under the category of the known world of objects is the knower, the subject of knowledge, you, I. How do you say the knower, the experience? First you understood, definitely you distinguished. How carefully you distinguished every thought you know now. I'm not simply mechanically telling you. Every thought is, you categorize the thoughts as intellect, mind, memory, ego. And you understood each thought is object of knowledge. Because all these thoughts which are there in the waking state, the thoughts are there, presence of the thoughts is known, isn't it, to you in waking state? Therefore, you are the knower distinct from the known thoughts, the presence of the thoughts. In deep sleep state, all these thoughts are absent. Absent means what? They are not non-existent, they are resolved. The resolved state of thoughts is known to you. And the presence of the thoughts also is known to you. Absence of thoughts also is known to you. In deep sleep state, all the thoughts are resolved. The thoughts being absent, not present, is known to you. Isn't true? Tell me. Known or not? The thoughts being present is known to you. Thoughts being absent also is known to you. Which means the thoughts resolve, thoughts rise. Thoughts resolve, thoughts rise. What does not come and go? Thoughts come, thoughts arrive, thoughts depart. Thoughts arrive, thoughts depart. Waking, thoughts come. Deep sleep, thoughts resolve. Waking, thoughts come. Deep sleep, thoughts resolve. What is there without arriving and departing, without winking the eyes? Knower. Knower I. Understand how? I the knower. You are always there. Thoughts are. Thoughts are not. No, knowing is there. That knower I is what? Is a consciousness. What is that? Because of whose presence? Thoughts being not there in deep sleep state is known. That knower is consciousness. And here you can say, which means an abstract truth, you want to call knower, which means, yes, look at this. Here is a mic in front of me. If this light is turned off, you cannot see my face, nor can you see this mic. Because the opaque mic. Now mic shines. How? Because it reflects light, isn't it? The light is not there, mic will not shine. The light is, mic will shine. Or even the whole room, our room, all our faces are well lit now because there's light. All our faces reflect light. Therefore, we say, all our faces, opaque faces, all these opaque things here, all the opaque objects here, the entire opaque walls, all of them shine because they are all illumined. They opaque, they do not shine. They're illumined, therefore they shine. They're illumined, opaque things shine because they're illumined. They're illumined means there is illumination. Without the illumination, opaque things cannot be illumined. There is illumination. There is illumination means what? There is an illuminator. Is it true or not? What is that? There is something which is present here because of whose presence? Imagine, you all don't know what it is, okay? There is something in this hall because of whose presence the opaque walls shine. Before the switches were turned on, they were not shining. The opaque walls shine, all the faces shine, all these things are illumined and they shine. Which means there is illumination, which means there is an illuminator. And what is the illuminator? Because of, there is illuminator. Without the illuminator, there cannot be illumination, there cannot be the illumined. What is that illuminator? Illuminator is, we are very sure, no doubt. But what that illuminator is, who that illuminator is? You know, illuminator is not distant from any of the illumined, but distinct from every illumined. Not distant from any of the illumined, but distinct from every illumined. That illuminator is, you search and you resolve it. There is no illuminator other than the light. What should his conclusion? That truth, that abstract thing, okay, here, the illuminator is light. When you say you are equating the illuminator to the light, which means you resolve the illuminator in the light. You stumbled upon, you arrived at the thing called light. Understand? It's a gross example. Illuminator is light means, what does it mean here? If there is light, there is illuminator. If there is no light, there will not be illuminator. Is it true? Therefore, existence of light is the existence of illuminator. There is no illuminator other than the light. Therefore, you search for the illuminator. You have to, this word illuminator will resolve in the light. Okay, you arrived at what? Substance called light. Is it clear now? Now, you have to ask, light is not the illuminator, but there is no illuminator other than the light. Light is not the illuminator, But the illuminator is light. Why do I say that? Do you all follow or not? Are you following? If you have any doubts, please feel free. Okay, afterwards. Hope it doesn't go above the head. Because I am a little... Why? Because illumination is not an action. Does light do any action here? What action does the light do to illumine everything? What effort does the light make to illumine everything? Tell me. What effort? Nothing. No effort, no action. What does the light do? Nothing. Just presence. Okay? Mere presence of the light brings the opaque things to light. The opaque thing is taken away, absence of mic also will be illumined. Opaque, the light, mic is brought here, presence of mic also will be illumined. Understand? Which means the light, okay, from the standpoint of the opaque illuminator status is given to the light. Light, the standpoint of the light, there is no illuminator status. Which means illumining is not an action. Therefore, it is the very nature. Illumining is not an action. It is the very nature, swarupam. Therefore, light is the illuminator is a wrong sentence. But the illuminator is the light is a right sentence. Is it clear? Similarly here, illumination is not an action. Similarly, consciousness is thoughts come, thoughts resolve, thoughts come, thoughts resolve. Presence of thoughts is illumined, absence of thoughts is illumined. Okay, known, which means knowing. Who is the experiencer, observer, knower of the mind? Invariably knowing the mind. That knowing is not an action on the part of consciousness. That's the very nature of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is not the knower, but there is no knower other than consciousness. Is it clear? Knower is consciousness. Experiencer is consciousness. Observer is consciousness. Means you can resolve the observer, knower, experiencer in consciousness. Which means consciousness is, therefore the observer is. Consciousness is not, there cannot be observer. There cannot be experiencer. Is it clear now? Therefore, knower is consciousness. Therefore, what is I? I, the first person singular pronoun, the substance of the substantive first person singular pronoun, I is equal to consciousness. You distinguish the knower, I as the knower, from all the known, then search for who this knower is. You stumble upon consciousness, that knower I the knower is consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. Okay? Now, we have to know more about consciousness. Now, is there one knower or are there many knowers? Because in every one of us, I, isn't it? Therefore, we'll see next class. Anything else? Anything to want to ask? Any doubts?
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you talk so many times, and so much. I listened to it over and over and over again. And tonight was the first time I actually heard you say, and I know you've said it before, but I've never heard it, and this just proves how important it is to keep listening, keep listening. I've never heard you say before that the ahamkara is the knowledge I am.
Yeah.
And I know you've said it before, and I've never heard that. And that is the most extraordinary statement to me. It really is.
See, I is different from the knowledge I am. That is why I repeat it, I'll close, even today I repeat it 10 times. People may think, my God, this woman is mad, it's repeating. They may think, but I repeat because, just to distinguish the difference between I and the knowledge I am. It's not there in deep sleep state. Is it clear? Because that's the people, it's difficult to understand that as the thought. Without that, no thought is possible. Only one simple method we have seen. Maybe we'll try to, I'll try to go a little differently, slowly also. We have to analyze even the states of experience, etc. We have it to analyze very clearly. It's just, today my aim is to help you to see even your thoughts are all objects of knowledge. Because thoughts, you can never talk anything about the thoughts. What the thoughts are, they're all thoughts only. And so you understand when I say, you understand everything, you understand. Oh, I know this, I know this, I know anger, I know desire. All, they're all in thought forms. Thoughts are in these forms, anger, desire, etc. That's what I wanted to tell you. The only way you can understand thoughts. Okay, the more, when you study this, really, you are with this, isn't it? Become very clear. But it is very important to sustain the interest. Even, it's very difficult. The mind gets distracted by things. How very difficult to find somebody who's very committed to this. Things do distract. So at least Bhagavan has blessed you all with some interest. Because what happens, sometimes it is very natural for many people not to be interested in this. Very natural. And it is one thing which cannot be imposed on others. Come on. You can't market it. Vedanta can never be marketed. You know that. Other things can be marketed and sold. Even if you market, it will come back. It's like a, you know, that like a big ball thrown on the thing will come back and hit you back. Why? Because it, nothing will work. Unless there is genuine need. Once people are mature, this must be, search must be there. There must some that's why Vedanta is not something which we can just go about, and then people have to really know, some punya must be there to be exposed to this and to become inclined for this, to be interested in this. And some interest you all pick up, some punya. That is why you could come here to the class. You know, it's not an easy thing. It's not, don't take it ordinary thing. Really, I'm very seriously I'm telling. It's not an easy thing, ordinary thing. Even India people are not interested. All of them are, don't think people, all India is a spiritual land. All of them. No, that's not true. The whole Jagat, there are very few people everywhere who will be interested in Vedanta. You know. And then we are interested, we are genuinely interested, we are inclined also. And that, but still, I tell you, we have our own problems. We get stuck everywhere, different places. And so many things to distract. It's very difficult to, you know. That is why sometimes, you know, people come and listen, and nothing else is there, they'll come to the class. Otherwise they won't come. Something else, then they'll go for that. I don't know whether I told this to you or not. Recently I was listening to one of the, because recently Shringeri Acharya has been traveling in our place. And then, if anybody is getting late, please tell me, okay. And he was traveling. And he was mentioning one of his talks. People come and tell me, many people come and tell me, they are living in Chennai, attending Paramarthanandaji's classes, Swamini Chavji, come and tell me. And I don't think people come because they have something better than nothing, so they come, you know. At least better, instead of going to the pub and clubs, better to go here. That way they may come here. But really, no, I should know the truth. I want this. You know, especially as we are aging and growing also, the more commitment must be here, isn't it? But that Shraddha, with the folk attention, who comes here? No, but that is not wrong, they are not like that. He doesn't say fall, because it is very important for one to take care of that, to sustain that interest what we have. Very, very difficult. For example, he gave one example for that. He went to visit a place, and he was giving a talk and emphasizing the what is self-knowledge and how important it is and how important it is for one to live a life of values, dharma, he was emphasizing. He gave some 50 minutes of talk. Then at the end of the talk, and then he finished, and one person, one of the organizers in the group, he came there and he just bowed. And Swamiji, very nice, so nice. I was very, very pleased to hear your talk. It was fantastic, wonderful talk. I thoroughly enjoyed your talk. It was very, very nice. I'm very happy, he said. And then Swamiji was surprised. Now he asked, what is that? What is it really which made you so happy? He asked, it seems. And then that person said, you know, Swamiji, at the end of the talk, you know, he said, may people of this village all be blessed with Shreyas. Maybe all of them blessed with Shreyas means all auspiciousness. He said that. He said, in your talk, you mentioned the word Shreyas, my grandson's name. This is how you people come and listen to the Vedanta talks. I talked about the importance of, you know, self-knowledge, rather the importance of dharma. 50 minutes talk, what really he was happy about was, I mentioned his grandson's name, Shreyas. These are people coming into Vedanta. And he said, there was some seriousness, isn't it? People are so very, once we get somewhere, stuck means and finished. Difficult to take the mind away from things. Anyway. So that's why, see that you are genuine. I'm not telling for myself. I'm not finding fault with anybody here. I'm just telling you. It is very natural. So that you have to, you know the value of knowledge. So you have to genuinely pray and you have to thank Bhagavan for blessing you with this interest and inclination. And you have to pray intensely to bless you, to be able to sustain this interest and to make it possible, isn't it? To make this knowledge attainable. Otherwise we lose. Not we won't lose sometimes, it will take very long. Time is so precious. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.